Hello. Who are you again?
I'm not sure. Actually, I think I answered the wrong phone.
Do you recognize this accent?
Oh my gosh, it's been so long.
I wanted to say your friendly neighbor to the south, but that's not correct.
Not accurate. I am farther south than you.
That's nice. I can hear you chopping up, I'm guessing, strawberries.
I am using what I believe is a mashed potato tool.
Is it one of those like UK hand punchers?
It's flat. I don't know what in the world it's for, if we're being very honest. I think my mom gave it to me to mash potatoes, as if that's a thing I do on the regular.
I love that of all the gifts. She was like, you know what? This is what Christy needs.
Christy likes mashed potatoes. Her thought process is really, if I give her the tools, maybe she'll cook.
Well, that was the first mistake.
You know what tools she didn't give me?
Potatoes?
The tools that make you understand what cooking is about.
Oh, okay.
Like also the intellectual important tools.
Almost as important as the potatoes themselves.
As the potato masher.
Well, guys, welcome to Theology on the Rocks. Sorry we've been away. It was Christy's fault, honest.
Yes, well.
Where did I go?
You know, I've been here for a minute. I was driving across the country. It was a bit difficult to podcast.
She came to teach at her school so she wouldn't get fired, but she was gone. Listeners, she left me for like a calendar month. It was all just pictures of like mountains.
It's only partially true. I left you for 3 weeks.
Okay. I'm sorry that in my soul it felt like a month. I'm sorry I missed you for that extra week. Also, she was traversing the country in a car from Florida to Colorado, which who does that?
I did. I drove the whole way. And I learned a lot of lessons. I learned that
not
Atlanta
to drive across the country with a dog. She had Penny.
I had Penny. Honestly, though, Penny did so much better in the car than she does on planes that it was that Penny was the least of my concerns, really.
Until you had to get a hotel.
Yeah, that's expensive. Because they're like, we have to clean it.
Do they not realize that she probably just like poops air? Like she doesn't eat. Listeners, Christy's dog.
She does not like to eat.
She doesn't like to eat. And I mean, it's a real struggle for Christy to care.
It is a constant and never ending problem, honestly.
She's also like smaller than my cats. And like, is just so when I say she poops air, I can't imagine that anything happens because
she has such tiny, tiny poops. They're so little, which is great for me, you know.
This is how you know you're talking to dog people or parents. Because we just like talk about
inevitably this. Poop comes into the conversation.
We talk about it so easily. And people who don't have animals or children who are basically animals, that they're gonna be like, well, that took a gross turn.
Why are we talking about poop all of a sudden?
This is just how we roll. My husband and I now, we just like use the poop emoji and just like good, bad.
Yeah, like, no, you have to keep track of their poops.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, and they can't tell you things. So it's
no
sort of scientific deduction element to it. We all become
poop experts.
Yeah, biologists whenever we get a dog.
It's like, oh, this poop looks a little bit weird. I guess I'll call the vet.
And then $800 later, they're like...
$800 later, they're like, oh, your dog ate a pen.
Right. And it's actually just fine.
The poop is just blue.
It's just blue.
It's a real story, but not this dog. My last dog, Lizzie, she ate everything. And she ate a pen. And that was the bluest poop I've ever seen.
And you just took her to the doctor and they were like, $800 later, she ate a pen.
They were like, she's going to poop it out and just keep an eye on her. And I was like, oh my God.
A pen? Like, was it a full?
It was.
That feels like that would be trouble going through the old intestinal
tract. I know. And that was my concern. They were like, if she doesn't poop it out in like a day, we'll have to do surgery, you know, because. But she did. She pooped it out. It came out real blue.
Well, guys, this is poop on the rocks, in case you were wondering.
Welcome.
Feces on the rocks.
Feces on the rocks. Theology on the rocks is back, y'all.
We're back. Just talking about poop.
Talking about poop.
So Christy did go away. And school started, and we both were in a pit of despair so deep.
Pit of despair.
That I am currently in my bed. I have never recorded in my bed, but I'm recording in my bed. Because I'm like Mrs. Havisham or whatever. Great Expectations. I'm just like, I think that
I cannot people anymore.
I think I live here now. I think this is where I live.
I think that's fair. I do. Penny is like, what is happening? Oh my God, if she would only eat a pen.
might help her a little bit.
What's in your bed? Oh my God, starting school. I'm too old for this, is what I've decided.
I always have said this, is like the generations, it's sort of like that really creepy quote from Dazed and Confused where Matthew McConaughey is like, they keep getting, or no, the, I keep getting older and they stay the same age. It's so
it's creepy, but it's so gross and creepy.
But I must say.
I must also say that
if you're a teacher, it's applicable, actually.
I also found him very attractive when I was 15.
Oh, he's still, I mean, yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. Ooh. It's amazing the things you look back on and you're like, wow.
Well, that was a bad idea. Yeah.
That was so bad. But yeah, so I start school and every year it's just, and especially with the language, like I see all the TikToks of like, and the kids try to keep me up to date with like, the no cap on God. This is so sus. It's starting to fall away. I think I'm too far gone now.
I think they have just acknowledged that I'm too old, and they just stare at me like, oh no, you're so embarrassing. I started to explain that whole the millennial pause. Have you heard about this millennial pause?
Does that mean we get to pause the trauma in our lives?
I wish. It's that we apparently take a pause before we start videos and TikToks and whatnots.
So are we supposed to just start screaming at each other when we do the podcast?
I think so. Well, I was like, guys, we don't know it started yet. And I was saying, like, our brains don't fully understand that when you hit play, there, you don't have to like, okay, you know, like
I'm insulted by that, and also I think it's wrong.
And this one student was like, is that why you guys pause? And I was like, what?
I don't even know who's
I've heard we're probably not even doing
TikTok or those things, or at least I'm not.
I mean, I have a TikTok for Penny that I have been neglected for like 6 months, but
I had a person of that generation tell me at a brewery that I should start a TikTok. And he was like, and it was sort of sweet, but then also sort of insulting at the same time. Because he was like, he was really giving me that fly for a white guy video, you know, with the hat.
Oh, yeah.
But like a Gen Z version of that.
Yeah.
And he was just like, yo, you know, you should. He was asking me questions about religion. And I told him,
start a religion TikTok.
He said, yo, you should be on TikTok. Just like the professor, like, answer. And I was like, That's my job. I don't want to do it on TikTok for free.
But it though I will say we are doing it on this for free.
We are, but like we also are with each other enjoying. I'm not even gonna answer people. I mean, maybe I will live to regret this and I will do TikTok. Should I do TikTok, guys?
Okay,
the professor's in. But also he gave me his card because he wanted to market me.
He wants to market your TikTok.
Tell this man
that he should market our podcast.
Christy, if I have that business card, I will give you $100 from my bank account. Or if I could even remember of the many cards I have in my wallet,
which one is him.
Because it had some sort of like business that was so like vague, like to the moon production. Something. And I'd be like, this could be an astronomy club or it could be a marketing tool. I don't know. So anyway, that was my TikTok career started and ended in that conversation.
I got to interject with the fact that this potato masher did not puree my strawberries all that well.
When I said we were switching, so I told Christy we were switching roles this week. She thought that I meant that I was early or prepared, which I was, to be fair.
You were prepared.
But what I really meant was that I used fake strawberry stuff.
Drink this week, we found in a Prosecco book and we put it on Instagram. We wanted it to be pink for the theme of the week. And so it's strawberry puree in Prosecco. I wanted to find fake strawberry stuff. Where did you find fake strawberry stuff? This is mostly a lack of knowledge.
It was in the like where you know, those like mixed drinks, what you mix it with. Like,
really?
There's just like, you know, there's like where the margarita mixes and stuff.
Yeah.
There's just
that would have been so much better because there's just like chunks of strawberries floating on top of my
face. Christy, do you not remember this is what happened last time with me where I just was weeding out like lemon or whatever it was? No, it was grass. It was the whatever.
It was the mint leaves.
The mint leaves. I was like, I'm so organic. It was a salad. It was a literal salad.
This is me this week.
But also at least it's strawberries and not leaves.
Ugh, so if I start choking, you'll know what's happened.
Or she's left our world.
Left the world. Cheers.
Okay, cheers. To our return. Thanks for sticking around, guys.
Yeah.
Oh no.
There's a strawberry chunk coming out everywhere.
Wow.
I
drank it and it felt so delicately pleasant that I just was like, ooh.
You were like, oh, this is so lovely. And I just have strawberry goo hanging out.
You had like a literal attack.
I am.
My pinky was up, and then you started choking.
And then I was like, nope.
And then my pinky fell. It immediately fell. Well, I'm going to keep going, and you just let me know how things are going over there, because this is dangerous right here.
I'm going to remove some of these strawberry chunks so that I can drink.
I spent 3/4 of that podcast taking leaves out of my drink.
Leaves out of your drink. This is so gross.
I can't so wait to listen. I can't wait to listen back to hear you. Also, keep in mind, I'm drinking Prosecco while laying in bed and still didn't choke as bad as you did.
I wish you could see what's happening right now. I'm glad no one else can see it, but
we really need videos because I think this week would be epic.
Absolutely. Okay.
Speaking of. I'll take a little one for the team here for you, Christy, while you compose yourself. I wonder if anyone's ever died from strawberries. Hit us up in the comments and let us know. Because it may happen tonight. So we are firming up our plans for Theology Beer Camp, which is coming up. And we're not entirely sure what all is going on because that's how we roll. We're laid back. Like,
I don't know if you can tell, listeners. Dear
laid
listeners.
Laid back as an academic can be. But one thing that we did decide to do that I got as an inspiration from my own brain and, you know, watching YouTubes while drinking wine is to do the Hot Ones challenge with theology questions and just have people put like questions in a bowl and Christy and I just like read them to each other. And so we're gonna video that one, so hopefully that will be our first like actual video
podcast.
Where we're gonna put it, I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure out. We've got a little while, but just so we've got the information out there, Theology Beer Camp is October 19th through the 21st. Thank you. In Springfield, Missouri. We have been posting about it on the Instagram, but you can go to theologybeercamp.com, I think is the website. I should probably double check that. And register using the code ROCKSGODPOD. It's all one word. ROCKSGODPOD. And you can get $5 off.
And they were bragging about other people had used their codes, and we weren't included in that, guys.
No, y'all, you need to use our codes. At least one person.
So if you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I really like, you know, whatever, fill in the blank.
If you just really want to hang out with us in person, we're delightful. This is how we are in real life, too. So it is.
It's, yeah. I mean, I'm usually not in a bed, and Christy's usually not hacking her brain.
I'm not usually choking on strawberry goo.
But in general, this is how we are. Yes.
We are delightful. And it'll be a good time.
Absolutely.
Lots of good speakers and some.
North Carolina to Missouri. So that's how much I like it.
And again, let's talk about driving across the country.
That is not as far as Colorado.
Just barely. But yeah, it'll be a good time. So make sure you go.
Also, I've got to take the hot sauce, so I can't fly.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Yeah, you do.
I mean, I could check it. It'd just be an entire suitcase of hot sauce. To which I feel like people would have questions.
Probably. They probably would.
And please do use ROCKSGODPOD and we'll get credit for it. And that's a good thing because, again, this is our first year doing it. But we thought that would be really fun. Yes, well, let me preface and say I thought it was going to be fun.
I think it's going to be a really good story later after we've recovered from our hospital stay that we are going to have because neither of us are good with hot food.
No, Christy was like, are you good at that? And I was like, no, I'm not.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Like, I'm like, I told her I'm like middle, but like low middle.
I'm like low. Like,
yeah.
Like, not even middle, just low.
I don't think being. Gonna save me from the destruction that is to happen.
I think we're both gonna die. It's fine. It'll be a good time for people. Everyone's gonna enjoy it, and we'll answer y'all's questions.
Yeah, like, it'll be really fun.
In front of you
as we cry. I know. We just need to get a meme. We need a Jennifer Lawrence meme style that's gonna come out of it. So
somebody told me that we're gonna be snotting everywhere.
Yeah,
that's very gross.
Look, it may not be our glamour shots moment. I'm aging myself here, but which, by the way, if you have glamour shots or anything like that, please send us a picture of them.
If we get five glamour shots from you guys, we'll post Leah's glamour shot. How about?
Oh my gosh, it was.
I'm using it as a bribe.
It involves. Fake silk is all I get. And my mother.
And her mother. It's amazing. This is worth. I don't have one. We never did this. This is my.
I'm sorry.
My greatest regret.
I mean, something tells me by the fact that my face and also my mom's in it that I didn't plan that.
I would venture to say that you were not the one who wanted to do it.
And if anyone who knows me would know that glamour is not necessarily an adjective that would come up often. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, this Leah finally fulfilled the Barbenheimer duo.
I did.
She had a lot of thoughts, so we decided we would have a Barbie Oppenheimer discussion here with you all.
Yeah.
I saw them on the same day.
That would have been a lot of
it was
to feel.
It was a lot. We went to Oppenheimer and then we went to lunch and had margaritas and then we went to Barbie after. So it wasn't like just the whole time in the theater.
Also, that was probably the right order.
Was. It really was. Also, I feel bad for my dear friend Jen, who had to sit and listen to me have a rant after Oppenheimer.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, so one of the things I will say, if you guys haven't heard of the Barbenheimer thing, is basically like, I really appreciate it because I'm a person who loves going to the movies, but I know there's been a bit of a, I have felt myself not enjoying going to the films as much, and my husband's a big nerd, but I don't necessarily love like the Marvel stuff.
Oh no, they're it's not really long.
It's long, and I haven't watched it from the beginning, and like, look, I did the Star Wars thing, I'm on board with him on that, like, but like it just seems like everything coming out was like a Marvel film. If you like Marvel, cool, this is not anti-Marvel, but it is the fact that there's anti diversity.
Yeah.
In terms of movies out there.
Well, it's either Marvel or it's a remake or it's a sequel. And it just, like, there wasn't anything for me that was really making me feel like I should go to the theater.
I agree.
Instead of waiting for it to be on streaming or just skipping it altogether, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I felt myself leaning into that world with Oppenheimer because I was just like, it's 3 hours. How could I possibly? And it's like, girl, you used to sit through like 3 hour movies all the time.
I will say, I don't think I would have seen Oppenheimer in the theaters if it wasn't for this. So
yeah.
Good job, Oppenheimer, for piggybacking on Barbie.
Right. And I think what they did was a good like kind of juggernaut of like summer blockbuster, you know, because I'm remembering the days of like Titanic and Jurassic
Absolutely,
Park.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like
Independence Day.
Yeah.
All of those, like, 4th of July blockbusters that you would go see.
Yeah. Like, I remember when my birthday would come around, they would start advertising for these movies, and I was always really excited and just, like, ready. Like, I saw The Sixth Sense when it came out, the day it came out.
These movies, because our birthdays are July 2nd and 3rd, these movies would always come out, like, on or right by our birthdays. So same, when I was a kid, it was like, what amazing birthday movie am I getting this year, you know?
And I think here's a side note. When you watched Independence Day and they flashed July 3rd, did you do a whoop in the theater?
I'm sure I did.
Because I think they start on the 1st.
I think they do.
And then they're like July 2nd. And I was like, yeah.
There's never any reference to July 3rd that goes by without me making sure that everyone in that room knows.
They're like, wow, she's really excited that aliens are killing
really
us.
Really excited about that July 3rd.
Great. Good call. So Barbenheimer, I think, brought back that nostalgia. I mean, like, I went with friends to Barbie. Including my husband, who was awesome and was like, yeah, I'm into it. Dressed in pink, came with the group, and like we got popcorn, and it just really felt like kind of old times.
Yeah.
I mean, I did get wine. So, like,
it was
like adults.
I don't know who all has these, but we went to the Alamo Draft House. The Alamo Draft House has, you can order food and drinks in the actual theater room you're in.
Yeah.
But it also is very different. So they don't do the same like previews and stuff. It's got like a kind of party vibe to it. And they will have like old movies there too. Like they're doing these throwbacks of old teen movies right now. So they're like Easy A and Mean Girls and stuff. But one year before things went bad, they did a Kanye West sing-along. And we went to this, and it was just like they just played a bunch of music videos, but they had the words on the bottom so that everybody could try to sing, which, by the way, rapping is far harder than I ever realized it was. Like, I mean, I thought it was hard, but it's like a thousand times harder.
Well, also, like, rapping karaoke is maybe.
But they do those kinds of things. So for, I knew for Barbie, they were going to have stuff. You know, I was like, we've got to go to Alamo for this because they're going to, and they had a pink martini in honor of Barbie. So we got it. It was called the Pink Stiletto. It was not great, but it was hot pink. It was so fun.
This is pretty pink. Did yours come out pink?
No. I should have. I wanted the fake stuff. I looked in my liquor store and I couldn't find, well, I didn't look that hard, if I'm being honest, but.
Well, yours is probably like way better for you. Mine's probably like giving me cancer.
It almost killed me a moment ago. And then I even went to the grocery store and I was like, maybe there's strawberry puree here in the grocery store. And I could not figure out where that would be. Again.
I'm sorry.
This might be.
If only you had my phone number.
I had just texted you. I thought you were making it because you usually do that. You're much better at that than I am.
No, I did it once and I regretted it from almost immediately. Well, so
lesson learned, everyone. Don't puree your own strawberry.
And don't karaoke rap. But also, don't karaoke Third Eye Blind, which is what I did at beer camp, to circle back. And it was semi-charm kind of life. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Not at a thing called beer camp. It was a hot, dirty, gross mess.
For beer camp this year, can we please karaoke Goodbye Earl?
Yeah, it's a lot slower. I think that's right. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay,
my accent will be like, just
I'll even have a fake accent. It's great.
Perfect. We'll be in Missouri. It'll be wonderful. It's like the fake South.
Back to Barbenheimer, though. Sorry. You have not yet told me your thoughts on Oppenheimer. So,
do we want to start with Barbie? We can start with Oppenheimer, I guess.
I mean, for me, it goes Oppenheimer, Barbie, because that's how I saw it. But if you want to start with Barbie, you can.
I did it the other way, but we can stop Oppenheimer. So, Christy and I have, but we're different people and we like different things. I think I really like a real drawn out historical drama. Like I can still watch, I mean, we've endorsed two anti-Semitics, but before Mel Gibson went on his unfortunate thing, pretty much anything he made in terrible accents, I was like, yes, yes. I love this. So for me, Oppenheimer, to set it up. No, and that's not saying Christy doesn't. I'm just saying I'm assuming that's not maybe her choice. It's like
a four-hour
historical flick.
That is absolutely my choice if I'm home, firstly. I don't typically want to watch that in the theater because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. That annoys me. But
So I went in, my point being is I went in with like a very positive kind of thing of like, because I knew the story, but I really like getting some of the insights into it. I thought the acting was really well done. I thought Cillian Murphy was good at it. I think there was too much in it. I think that they tried it. I saw something recently that Christopher Nolan is the only director that has like six movies in the top like 50 IMDb or something, in terms of ranking. So I'm not challenging the genius of Christopher Nolan, but it seemed as though like there was like five stories happening at the same time, and
there was a bit much happening.
And even Stewart at one stage was like, when they were doing the trial, we're going to try not to do spoilers, but I mean, just know that there's going to be spoilers. They're having a trial. And he was like, when is this happening? This was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's later, I think, you know, like, So it was sort of, even for me who knew the story, I was trying to sort of like piece it together. Yeah. And I thought that
the way that they did the back and forth could have been cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because I think there was a lot of emotional stuff with it. And it could have really hit. Like,
yeah.
There was a lot of things too with him. They really wanted to dig deep into like this sort of relationship thing that he had with this other woman and blah blah blah. I didn't really see this is going to be controversial. I didn't see him struggling as much as I thought I would with the atomic bomb thing.
You know, this was part of my critique as well, is that I was frustrated with the I had a long conversation with a friend of mine about this kind of idea of, could he have done anything to stop it? And that's a different part we'll get into, but I did feel like, and I don't know what his actual emotions were during that time, but I didn't feel like he was struggling with it. It seemed like he struggled with it after a lot, but.
Well, and the only thing he seemed to struggle with as it was going on was that they took the bombs and didn't tell him anything about what they were going to do with it. And I was like, that's not really, I mean, sure. Like, but it felt more ego.
It did. Like, it felt very much ego motivated as opposed to
like philanthropic or whatever. Like,
right. And I also felt like there were several characters in the movie who were voicing concerns to him, and he would say something like, well, if we don't do it, somebody else would do it. But in a really flippant way, not in a way of like, I know I've wrestled with this too, blah, blah, blah. It was more like, just stop thinking about it, you know?
And they kept saying like, the Germans are not doing this. Like, we're not racing them. And he's just like, it doesn't really stop him.
I think the part that I got the most hung up on, and so to be fair, this is usually my takeaway whenever I see historical films like this, is that I usually end up deep diving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because this is who we are as people, we're academics, we're going to research everything to death. And I didn't do that with Oppenheimer. And I've been trying to figure out what it is that has stopped me from doing this, but I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. But one of the things that really hit me in the movie was that somebody said, there's a chance that this bomb could ignite the atmosphere and we could kill the entire world. And like, this is a reason not to do it. And he was like, but the Germans are also trying to do this. And they were like, but we know them and we could tell them that we found this and we could talk to them. And then we could all put a moratorium on this. And he was still like, nope, if we don't do this, they're going to do it. And it better us than them kind of thing. And I was like, as an academic, you know that they do actually know those people. Like, these worlds are so small, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We have, especially when you're in that level, like you're at the top of your field, you know all of those people. You've already talked with them probably a lot. You have
one of the guys taught him, remember? He was still in Germany, and that was one of the controversies at that trial, because they were like, oh, you were taught by this guy.
Yeah. Well, and it was like, you do know them, and you could have at least given a moment of thought to, maybe we talk to all of the scientists and we say, this is a possibility. Also, even if it doesn't ignite the whole atmosphere, it looks like this bomb is going to do a lot more damage than we think it's going to. And like, at least attempt to do something about it. And that really, I think that was what kind of gutted me the most about that film. And it's what I've had chats with people post, is this kind of evil thing inevitable just because we know how to do it? Or is there any reason to try to stop it? To try to
say both and. I mean,
for sure. I mean,
I do think it was inevitable. I don't think that because someone said once Einstein did the theories or whatever, that it was basically waiting for someone to do it.
To do now,
should you do it? Well,
right.
I would say no, but you know.
And partly it's a thing, I think, where we've gotten such a division between the sciences and the humanities, you know.
Oh, yeah, that classic picture.
Wouldn't it be nice if they had called up some philosophers?
Right. There's a picture that's like humanity, or no, science. Yeah, science. You how to make a dinosaur, and humanities can tell you why it might be a bad idea.
Yep. And like, it's part of why I stress to my students so much that it's important that we study the humanities, and it's part of what I try to talk about in my classes. But it was just so frustrating to sit there and watch this movie and feel like the kind of takeaway that Oppenheimer had was that this is, at least we were the ones who did it and not Hitler. Like, that's a depressing takeaway.
And also we dropped it on two cities, which they didn't show.
They did not show, no. And they didn't talk about, I mean, there was like references to it, but I mean, just the absolute destruction.
And the loss of life. And yeah. It's like.
And the absolute horrors. One of my friends lived in Japan for a little while, and she said that, because I asked her about it after I saw the movie, and she said that, yeah, some of the older generation, she said, would push you down the stairs if they saw you. And I was like, you know, fair.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think I'd blame them.
Well, and it's like, wasn't Obama the first one to go and actually talk about it? And even then he didn't apologize. I think that was like,
yeah,
you can fact check me on that, guys. But I'm pretty sure it was sort of like a roundabout apology, but it was like,
well, and
it's like when you break up with someone. For that,
I'm sorry that you're hurting so bad. Yeah. So here's my other question for you. How did you learn about this bomb in school? Like, when they taught you about it when you were in school, what did they teach you?
Right. Christy, I already know the end of this because you told me.
I did. I was so mad.
Christy went to a Christian school and got taught some stuff.
I got taught some stuff.
You got taught some stuff that we can talk about. But I went to public school in North Georgia. So, like, while there was hints of patriotism, I mean, I got taught pretty much what, I mean, we didn't deep dive into Oppenheimer, which I actually think your point's really interesting, just a sidebar, but to hold it, that I didn't deep dive into Oppenheimer after the movie either.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting, because you're right, like, every other sort of one, I would want to be like, ooh, who is this person? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, what were they?
I mean, like, at this point, because like I said, I saw it opening weekend.
Uh-huh.
If this was any other movie, and I do this all the time, I mean, the knowledge that I developed about The Crown after watching the first episode was absurd, right? If this is any other historical movie, I would know so many things now, and I have not one time Googled or like looked up on the library website a single thing.
Same. And I wonder about that. I'm interested in that. What I learned in school, we learned about the war and the bombs more than I learned about Oppenheimer, if I'm honest. We learned a little bit.
Oh, I don't think we actually learned about Oppenheimer at all.
I think we learned more about the Manhattan Project as a whole, and like his name got thrown in there. But like, I mean, when I say tinges of patriotism, it's going to be like, you know, well, they did this and then we had to do this, and you know,
that. Yeah.
But
we,
I mean,
learned that we
you,
were
you learned something else.
We learned the wrong thing. I'm so mad about this. This is the other thing, is that I was sitting in that movie just like and I had post my Christian high school, which I want to say my other classes didn't seem to be quite so ridiculous, but my history classes were real bad. I had taken other classes, so I had relearned some things about World War II, but we had learned in high school that we were losing the war, and that the only reason we won was because of those bombs, No. And like, had we not have dropped them, Japan would have taken over the whole world, essentially.
I don't, I mean, it's hard to tell the future, but I mean, I don't think that that probably is true.
I mean, I'm not in that movie, it was like Japan's on the verge of surrender, but we decided to drop the bombs anyway. And I was just like fist clenched, so mad.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, they did attack. I mean, but the response was overwhelming. I mean, and there was, and those bombs weren't built. I mean, if the movie, again, we need to deep dive, but they were built for, with a lot of fervor of Jewish scientists against the Nazis, as opposed mm-hmm. to Japan, you know. So again, that's not defending anyone's, I mean, Japan's actions. I think that was probably quite not smart.
No, I mean,
to do that. Not
smart,
I mean,
no.
Again, I'm not a military person, but like, I also think our response was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion on it. But yeah, the fact they left that out when that is like, you know, because in the end, I thought this was, I would be interested to hear your thoughts on this too. Because in the end, they talked about, I can't remember exactly word for word, but it was something like they put up a little like summary screen, and it was like the fact that, you know,
oh right, of how many people died.
Well, yeah, but also the fact that people saw what the bomb could do meant that more use of it didn't happen.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting, because I do think it made me pause, because I thought, okay, Cold War, you know, it didn't happen because people all had their fingers on the buttons and knew what would happen,
right?
You know, as far as I know.
I mean, I think that, kind of going back to some conversations I had with people after, is that, yeah, there definitely is the ability to restrain ourselves. We have that ability as humans. And even on these kind of global scales where, yes, once we saw what happened, the kind of trigger finger on those bombs went away.
Yeah.
But they're still there. We still have them. We're still building them. You know, this is still like actively a thing that we
yes.
are concerned about. This is part of why everyone is trying so hard to stay out of Russia and Ukraine, is because we know where it leads, you know, and it's just, I don't know.
But I felt like when they brought that up, it was like, I didn't feel like Christopher Nolan was defending Oppenheimer.
No, I don't think he was at all. I think he was definitely trying to say like that these were all terrible things that happened. That was,
it was funny, not funny, haha, but just like, okay, that this like Academy Award winning director, clearly the one person I did look up was his wife.
Oh,
because
Emily Blunt's character.
Emily Blunt, yeah. If you watch it, you're gonna notice something that's quite obvious, is that she's always drinking.
Yes.
And even when she's not drinking, there's a drink in her bag, but it sometimes looks like a weird prop that's just been put in her bag.
Yeah.
And I read something. I was like, she's an alcoholic, and I was like, no crap.
Shocking. Like,
but that leads to another thought I had, which is that I didn't think the characters were developed in a way that I would see in a 3-hour movie,
especially the female characters. I thought there was a massive lack in development. Emily Blunt's character goes from this just like kind of alcoholic, I would say kind of disaster person, to all of a sudden being like very formidable and standing up to that guy in a way that made no sense given the movie.
And Florence Pugh is an accessory at best.
At best. Right? She is.
And that's wasted. Character
would have just been taken out and it would have not affected the movie at all. And that is terrible.
100%. It's terrible. And yeah, because she's just an affair, but then also like she's a communist, but like he knew a lot of I mean, everyone was a communist in the 50s, basically, if you're an academic. So, like, quote unquote, I should
for
say.
For reasons, yeah.
Yeah. for McCarthy reasons. But yeah, so I mean, like, I think, like, I left not caring about any of them, really.
And yeah, same.
I felt like that was upsetting. I've cared more about Barbie.
I care so much more about Barbie, which I want to segue into, but I want to make one other
who was a doll
point is that the other thing I was really mad that they did not say anything about was the damage that was done to the people in New Mexico where they dropped the test bomb.
Oh yes, the Native peoples. Yeah,
there were Native peoples, and it's like 150,000 people living very close to where they dropped that bomb, and the effects on that community were massive for years later, and that is tragic and horrible.
And they just mention it flippantly.
They don't like,
at one stage, they're just like, oh yeah, the quote Indians come here and do stuff every once in a while, but otherwise no one else comes here. Like, they're
it was even, like, no big deal. Like, I mean, wildly racist, but also I thought for the movie to just not give any kind of acknowledgement of what happened to that community of people was a massive oversight.
Yeah, I would have liked them to go deeper with less information.
Yes. Less of the side stories, more, I don't know, something. Yeah, like I said, I really like most of Nolan's stuff. I'm usually a fan of historical stuff. I felt like it was, it was just really the word I keep using for it was, it just made me feel very hopeless. And I walked away from that movie feeling incredibly hopeless and downtrodden. And I just kept thinking about how evil humans are. And I was like yelling about the Tower of Babel. My boyfriend. It was just, and then we go to Barbie.
Wait, I want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
It's just to say that, I think what would it have done if it was just like, you know what I was wishing for the whole film was for Einstein to just sit Oppenheimer down.
Yes.
And just have a conversation. Like, there was a real lack of conversations.
There was a real lack of conversations. And you know what? I felt like this draw to his character, and like, kudos to that actor, because I kept thinking, like, he looks like he just is in mourning.
Yes. Quite right. He was in mourning. He was like
the whole film,
because he knew he started it.
Yeah. Like, he, I want to know his feelings about it. I want to deep dive into that.
Yeah. And you get,
I also want to deep dive into Rami Malek's character.
What who is he again?
He comes up at the very end, and he's like, all the scientists basically were like, this guy is forcing us to say things about Oppenheimer. It was during the trial.
Yeah.
And he was like, the scientific community hates Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, right.
Character. But, like, yeah, you know.
Let's promote him.
I was just like, what's going on with I want to know about those people. I want to know about the people who tried to stop the bomb. I want those stories. I don't want to hear about Oppenheimer.
I heard that Nolan based it.
I want those people.
Yeah. I heard he based on a biography. And I wonder if there was just, like, not much other information. You know,
yeah, I mean, that's very possible. Those other people, well, because history is usually written by the people who conquered, so
yeah, anyway,
yeah, hopeless. Barbie. And then we go to Barbie,
and your spirits and the margarita has brought you to a new
space. Margarita's helped, and my spirits were lifted by everything that was so amazing about Barbie. There's definitely some areas of issue with Barbie as well,
yes, there is,
but. I felt like it was a really interesting double feature, because where I was super hopeless with Oppenheimer, Barbie comes in and is like, look, even this just kind of, what did they call her? Like regular Barbie at the end.
Stereotypical Barbie.
Well, yeah. But at the end, America Ferrera is like, can we just have like a everyday Barbie? Like,
oh,
she's
not special.
Yeah. She's just a normal person. But like, the idea that you can still make an effort and do things and enact change in small ways and impact your world. It was such a it was such an incredibly interesting thing to go into after Oppenheimer. And it was like, see, this is what I want to hear about. And this is what I want to think about, is like how we can all do tiny things to help the world be better. And that's what Barbie was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think I went in with fairly low expectations from the minute, I should say, listeners. The first time I knew about Barbie was because Christy sent me a trailer. I didn't realize that it was Greta Gerwig or anything. And I just saw it and I was like, oh, no.
Leah was against this movie.
Well, I thought it was going to be bad.
You did. I have been on the hype train for Barbie since the moment I heard about it.
But Christy tends to lean into... You think you do lean into the interior parts of life than I do.
I do.
And so I think for me, I was just like, I like to watch, you know, the Dodo videos about dogs being rescued and things like that. I'm not like dead inside, but I just saw it and I was like, because, you know, there's like cheese that's bad and then there's
cheese that's good.
And this just, and the trailers didn't give it the credit, I think.
The
it
trailers,
the early ones.
I think the there was a lot of confusion. I think, and honestly, I think that confusion was done on purpose. And I think that it was really an interesting marketing ploy. Like, what is this movie even about? We're getting shots of Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling wearing neon roller skating outfits.
We don't understand what's happening. That's the first thing I saw.
That's like the first thing anyone got. And people were like, this is going to be terrible. And I instantly was like, this is going to be amazing. And here's why. Greta Gerwig, I think, is brilliant.
Yeah.
So Lady Bird.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw Lady Bird in the theater, but Lady Bird. And Lady Bird is my high school experience in so many ways. And Lady Bird, like, was the way that I understood being a teenager. And it was so beautiful to watch. And Catherine and I had this conversation about, like, especially watching the mother-daughter relationship in that movie. It was so powerful. It really, like...
Christy's name used to be Barbara, after Barbara Bush, but she actually changed it to Christy. Did she name herself after the Lady Bird, the president's wife?
I think she did.
Or did she make it up?
I honestly, I can't remember.
Okay.
And then I saw her version of Little Women, and I have history with that book, and like that book, and I mean, I've read it a million times and I love it, but I also have like a hatred for certain parts of it. And I felt like Greta Gerwig's version of Little Women helped me to heal my broken relationship with this book.
Can I guess that Amy burning that manuscript was something that hurts your soul?
I mean, whose soul does that not hurt? That was
anyone who's ever written anything or cared about anything
or cared about anything in their life. But no, like I saw that. So I saw that in theater with our friend Meg. I was at the cinema on Ashton Lane and I was sobbing and I was just like, oh my God, this movie. So I think that I immediately saw it was Greta Gerwig and I love Ryan Gosling, much to Stuart's chagrin.
my husband, who mostly is pretty neutral about anything that's not Star Wars, has a deep-seated hatred for like Ryan Gosling that is just unmatched.
Which is so funny to me. How do you hate Ryan Gosling?
I don't know. Like, I don't really think about him that much, if I'm honest.
He's so unoffensive.
I know. But Christy can tell you, my husband is neutral.
He was like, I hate him.
He does. And it's like, and I think I told like my friend, the group chat of my friends that he did. And they were like, nah, he doesn't. And I was like, I'm telling you, he truly does. It was like one of the first things he told me. was right. I hate that
so funny to me. Well,
that dumb face is what he calls him. He's dumb face. He's
like, it's his dumb face. I asked him after you guys saw Barbie if it helped, and he said, well, I think it's the first time I've ever seen him smile. And I was like, oh my god.
He really, like, Ryan, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
We don't understand this.
It's not, well, he doesn't, because Stuart is so stoic. He's not going to tell you why.
He won't.
But he's going to die on that hill. Sometimes
someday I'm going to get Stuart drunk enough and
good luck.
Solve this mystery.
It's been a decade and I haven't figured it out yet. So.
I was super excited about Barbie. So I was more optimistic than you were.
I wanted it to be good. I just thought it was going to be bad. It wasn't like I was rooting against it.
But it was so good.
It was so good. It was so good, and it melted my little sad heart. I cried at multiple parts.
It was, yeah. It was so touching. I want to read a tweet that I saw about it.
Okay.
So Karen Swallow Pryor, who is an academic in our world, she tweeted, Barbie is smart, witty, hilarious, and profound. Yes, it's a movie about men and women and the patriarchy, but before that, it is about the human condition and what it means to be human when death and all it entails enters the world, not to mention free will. And I was like, that is how I feel about Barbie. I think it was about humans and just being human.
And I think also shining a mirror on like the way that the world works.
Yeah.
Like, because people, I always, some guys that are like, I don't want to see it or I'm mad about it. And I'm not saying, most of the guys I know are not like that, which I am very happy that that's the case. But like, even I was talking to my dad and he was like, it's just about Barbie. And he was like, I don't even remember that you had a Ken growing up. And I was like, correct.
Do you know, my sister told me this story, is that when because I had a million Barbies and I did have Kens. And when she used to play with me when I was a kid, so my sister is 15 years older than me. She said that we used to murder all of the Kens. That was the storyline.
Whoa.
We would like banish them and then we would blow up the island or something.
Whoa.
I know.
And now all these like right wingers are like, see, we told you. That's exactly what they were thinking. They're going to put us all on Casa de Mojo House and blow us up.
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Yeah, Mojo Dojo Casa. I mean, so here's what I'll say. There's two things that I will say. One is that it isn't a thing that, I don't think it's like a hate men thing. It's one of those things where it's like when you go to Barbie Land and it's like, oh, the Kens don't get invited to things and they're second class citizens and blah, blah, blah. It's like, and all the Barbies are in charge of everything. And you're like, well, that's just offensive. Well, then, you know, you think, why is that offensive? Now, on the other side of that, I will say, much like Casa Mojo Dojo, there is some parts of it that are could be seen as like perhaps hurtful to the male ego, I would say.
I think if you're trying to be hurt by it, I think it was super friendly towards men, because at the end of the day, you even have the part where, again, sorry for a little bit of a spoiler, but
guys, Barbie, if you've not seen these movies,
and it's on you at this point if you haven't seen Barbie, but
a zillion people have apparently.
So she wants to forgive Ken, and America Ferrera is like, he stole your house and he brainwashed your friends and he tried to take over the government. And Barbie's like, I know, but I still care about him. Like, this is true. You know, Ken was never evil. He was just hurt that he was ignored, and then and then him and Barbie had a chat and she was like, you need to figure out who you are outside of me. And he was like, okay, I can do that. And then,
well, first he was like, I don't know. And then,
I mean, well, first he cried a lot.
He cried some.
And he threw his faux fur at the other Ken, who
also, my favorite line that relates to this, when I found out the patriarchy wasn't about horses, I wasn't as interested.
I lost interest when I found out the patriarchy wasn't about horses.
One of my favorite lines.
Absolutely died. Also, one of my favorite things that I haven't seen anyone talking about is that other Ken
that kind of follows Ryan Gosling's Ken around a lot. Like, he just is enamored with Ryan Gosling the whole movie. He's like holding his drinks, and I was like, can we talk about this Ken for a second?
Well, you need to watch the interviews, which I did see with Michael Cera talking about Alan.
Alan.
Who's another, like, Ken, but not Ken.
Alan is the best.
But he was like,
love Alan.
He was like, did you see what Alan was? And it was like, Alan fits all of Ken's clothes. And
Alan, Ken's buddy.
His buddy. Him. Yep. And he just was sort of doing that Michael Cera thing where you're just like, okay, there's something else there.
And see, and I think that Alan is exactly the point, is like, the movie is not addressing, it's not hating on men, it's hating on that kind of toxic masculinity that's making Ken think, oh, we need to take over and drive Hummers and wear ridiculous fringe and
be obsessed with horses.
Be obsessed with horses. Did you see the interview with Greta Gerwig about why she did that?
No.
She said she felt like if aliens came to our planet, that they wouldn't be sure if horses didn't rule the world because they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, all of our important statues and stuff have horses in them.
That's kind of amazing.
I was like, oh my God, she's right.
Everyone's on a horse. I mean, but the thing is, it's attacking the systems, the same system that made Ken feel awful, that made him feel like he needed to be a part of this fake
patriarchy.
It's a comical patriarchy.
Yeah, it's a comical patriarchy.
When they go to the real world, the same system that makes Barbie feel like she's a piece of meat is all the same system. It's just like, you're right, like, humans want to feel more equal, and it's
humans want to I think understand who they are in the world and their role, and they want to feel part of things, you know. Like when Barbie when Sasha says, where do the Kens sleep or live, and Barbie's like, I don't know, like the Kens are forgotten, and that's because we forgot about Ken when we were playing with our Barbies. Like, I thought that the world, the Barbie land, was constructed so well with how Barbies were actually played with by little girls. Like, everybody has a weird Barbie. Everybody has a favorite, like, here's my main Barbie that I play with, and the stories. And, like, yeah, Barbie doesn't, like, walk down the stairs. She just kind of goes wherever she's supposed to be at and
floats around.
My
feet are flat.
Oh my God, the flat feet scene. I felt like it was a great mix of, like, touching moments and comedy. I think there was a bit at the end that got dragged out a bit.
Yeah, I think so. People liked that she ended up, again, this is all spoilers, but that she ended up, like, at the gynecologist. And
I thought that was pretty funny.
I know, and it is, but, like,
because she didn't have a vagina earlier, Leah.
I know, but I just thought, like, of all the places, like, I associate, like, she was so excited, and I get why she was excited, because she had, but, like, man, let her go on a roller coaster or something. Like, why did she have to go to the gynecologist?
Well, it's the only thing she couldn't do in Barbie Land. Well,
she wasn't going on roller coasters in Barbie Land.
She could have. Maybe they're roller that you don't know. The children today might have roller coaster Barbies.
Okay, maybe she falls in love. Mm. Or maybe that's too not feminist. Maybe she, like,
maybe
has the breeze on her face.
It would have been nice if we saw her, like, get a job.
I would love to see her if she really liked the real world.
Is she happy that she chose that human life, or is she like, oh, this was a mistake?
As I, like, comatose in my bed, just like, drinking pink Prosecco. And
I wish you could see this pile of strawberry goo next to me. Well, I just, I felt like Barbie was, if I'm trying to say, like, here's takeaways that I want from the work that I do as a theologian, I felt like Barbie was closer to what I want to do, is to be like, there are ways we can change things. You don't have to assume we're all doomed or that evil is inevitable or however you want to think about it. But
I think that's a good thing. I mean, I'm stuck in the world of COVID right now. Not that I have it, but I'm studying it. And
Yeah, because you are working on your, well, technically this is your third book.
My third book, yeah. But it's Bad Theology again. And I just...
The kind of sequel, Bad Theology, COVID stuff.
Yeah, it's delightful. It's Oppenheimer, let me tell you.
Much like your last book.
Which was also Oppenheimer.
Which is Oppenheimer.
Like my next book, which is on conversion therapy, which is also Oppenheimer. So if you want to keep doing research into the Barbie, like the positive is what I mean by that. Like I
will try to be the
inject hopefulness into my veins so that I don't just sink into a hole in the ground.
I feel like I want that for my life, but my research tendencies are usually things like trauma. So much as I want there to be hopefulness in this world and to be the friend that's sparkly, I still have to talk about that trauma.
No. And I think you're more than a friend that's sparkly. I think that's also the point of Barbie, is that these people are really like, they're smart. They're like people who do things, but like they also have a good, like positive, hopeful disposition. And I think that's important with theologians, actually, because I think we can get very marred down with like,
yeah,
all of the stuff.
I agree. And I do think that one of the things I want to always remind myself as I'm, and something that I try to keep in my work too, is that ultimately, if I'm trying to do an understanding of this theology in light of the Christian church, that there's still hopefulness in it. So that's what I find most compelling about Christianity, is the hope that is kind of the central point, that resurrection hope that we're supposed to have.
And what's annoying is that anytime anyone does something like that, people see it. That's a echo generalization. But sometimes when people do that, people are like, oh, it's not realistic.
Right. I think
that's what they said about Bart. Like my dad just kept saying, isn't that a movie about a doll? Being like condescending. He's not seen it.
So I think that's part of my kind of emphasis too, is that, because to come back to your point, I thought the characters in Barbie were really round. I thought that they were really fleshed out. They had a lot of growth and depth to them. Whereas like we were saying with Oppenheimer, it was not enough of that character development. And you can have a movie that's light and fun and funny and have all of those important qualities to it. Comedy gets derailed a lot, I think, because we just see comedy as trash or junk stuff that we watch, or we call it guilty pleasures. And I don't think we give comedy the credit that it's due.
Yeah. I mean, satire was sort of like, you know, it was the kind of OG comedy, and it was very intellectual, you know, and it's very, whatever. And I think, you know, to see Barbie as just a movie about dolls is to see the same thing with some of the theology stuff, which is to be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's published with a popular press or something, so it must not be, or it's happy, or it's hopeful, you know, whatever, and it's not real. And I think that's bullshit.
I do too.
But Justice for Midge is all I've got to say. That's my criticism.
Okay, I will say, I'm going to publicly say this. So firstly, publicly, I'm saying that I have seen Barbie in theaters 3 times now.
Oh, gosh.
But it was at my third viewing of Barbie. I really honed in on watching Midge, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did not do a great job with Midge. So my two critiques of the Barbie movie are Midge and the end. It's a little too long.
Yes, I agree. And if you haven't tell us your opinion. We're not going to tell you what we think about Midge. You tell us what you think.
You tell us what you think about these two movies. If you guys disagree with us entirely, or if you have other information that we need to incorporate on our opinions of these movies, all of that stuff, we're willing to hear you out.
We are.
Might sing "I'm Just Ken" at you while you do it.
Christy might. Ooh, why are we not singing that at beer camp?
We can, because I have the whole thing memorized.
Well, I don't, but I can. I got a phone.
It's all out. It's on the soundtrack.
I don't think it's so hard. It's hard to find. Oh, that was my criticism, but it's not really a criticism of the movie, was that unlike Oppenheimer, I knew a lot of the scenes beforehand.
I think that is a social media problem.
It is. It totally is. And like, I could have avoided that. And that's not me. But
I know somebody who deleted all of their social media until they went to the Taylor Swift concert because they didn't want to know about it.
There was so much. I felt like because Christy went to the Eras tour and I was.
I did go to the Eras tour.
I didn't feel as jealous as I thought I was going to feel. But there was some jealousy. But I also felt like I'd watched a lot of it.
A lot of it is online. You can be part of the Eras tour virtually if you so choose.
I do wish I'd gone though, but they didn't come. Caused a lot of people to talk about that. Because everyone always forgets that Charlotte has a stadium and can hold her. Beyonce was here like a week ago. If Beyonce can do it, then she can do it.
I didn't think I would care about missing the Beyonce show. And now that it's about to happen in Tampa, or it just happened, I can't remember. I'm having some regret.
How much were the tickets?
I 0% could I have afforded those tickets. Okay. So that's
that's all I need to know. Because I if you are zero, I am negative. So
Beyonce, I saw Beyonce and Jay-Z in Glasgow when they were doing their tour.
Oh yeah, you said, yeah.
It was in 2019, and I gotta say that was the greatest concert I've ever been to. It was fantastic. It was at Hampden Park. Is that where that's the soccer stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I almost died because all the buses like were supposed to be extended, but they weren't. So I had to walk back to my flat.
Whoa.
And
the one that you lived in that was like out past like Dumbarton Road?
No, this is when I lived right by I'm trying to think of what.
Sorry.
Glasgow talk. It's Glasgow fine. Talk. I lived on the West End. I lived by Great Western Road at that point. But it was Hammond Park
is far.
I had to walk through Govan.
Oh,
really late at night. It was like 1 a.m. and I walked through Govan by myself. I almost died.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? It would have been worth it because.
I'm not sure about that. But I'm glad that you saw her nonetheless.
I did. Yeah, it was great. Her and Jay-Z. It's fantastic. Anyway.
On that note, I think that we have. I'm so exhausted, Christy.
I know. We both got to take naps.
I need to take a nap. I'm closer than you are right now, but
you are. I am not in bed, but
I'm just gonna close my eyes.
All right. Well, hey everyone, we're back. We'll be back regularly. There's not gonna be a 3-week break. So we'll see you,
Christy.
I'm here.
Blaming her. It was
And then register for beer camp and join us.
Please do. We're going to be eating wings and singing Die Earl. Earl's
yep. Goodbye, Earl.
And Ken. Something. And
I'm just kidding. We're going to be the toast of the town.
And no Third Eye Blind. Do not let me do that, Christy. I do it every time. Give me a glass of wine. Or
I'm not going to stop you.
It's so sloppy. It's sloppy. Don't let me do it. All right. We'll see y'all later.
See you next time. Bye. Bye.